Real Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Susie, Claire Schwab, and Evan Pearson. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. Truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
Hello and welcome. This is Beachy. It's Monday, November 10th, 2025. How is everybody? Let's see. Let me go back. I just was in the middle of something and now let me start all over again. Anyway, this is the Remember Who You Are show and I'm back again. I would just want to start my show to say I have, this is part two of Wordplay. We did a show over the weekend, myself and a new member, Serene. And so I had this all drawn up as a solo show, but I did a few, we went over a few topics. So, and this is the rest of it, on my, topic of the wordplay. So wordplay, here we go. The ultimate weapon is language, in my opinion. The technology of language has been used against us for so long. It's so effective. Why wouldn't they use it over and over again? We remember, well, we don't remember, but if you think about in the beginning, there was one language and then they created, you know, languages for every different culture, which was the initial division of people, because, you know, when you have different languages, there's, you know, misinformation, miscommunication, people get confused, they get things wrong, and next thing you know, there's division and people are warring. But, you know, that is not to say that it was a war started by the people. I'm sure it was manipulated, as, like I said, I believe the ultimate weapon of manipulation is, you know, stirring up people, giving them different information, and then they think the other person is doing something wrong, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, So I think this has been going on for a long time. I think that's kind of the play, and the, you know, it's just rinse and repeat. So one of my thoughts is when the manipulation is heavy, we're usually only given two options. We're asked to choose a side, one or the other. Real life is never about just two options. Obviously, we have infinite options. And this is how you know when you're being had, or when you're somebody's trying to herd you into a desired direction. And of course, we're never asked if we even want any of these selections that they put. Of course, that's a way they keep control, because then you're picking something that they want you to pick. Either way, it works out for them. And of course, like I said, we're never asked about, is this what we want, or, you know, just foist it on you. And any reasonable discussion would totally destroy all their propaganda, but questions are frowned upon and debate is shut down. They've got name calling, labels, personal insults, what have you. And, you know, we're, for some reason, we're censored and shut down. But of course, we always have, you know, people who want to go along to get along, because, you know, you don't want to be kicked out of the club or the gang. We were taught that, obviously, in grade school. That was a very important lesson, specifically in junior high, when, you know, you just couldn't go against the crowd, because that then you didn't have any friends, and that was like death in in that time period. But anyway, back to my word thing here. One way to fight back is by, you know, using this same weapon, because, you know, it's a weapon, yes, but it's also a tool. We can use it for good or, you know, as they have, for damage. So we can just keep questioning. We have to keep questioning. We can't stop asking questions, even though they're, you know, always throwing back things and calling us names like conspiracy theorists or haters or anti whatever, anti, you know, vaxxers that we got thrown at us. But anyway, I think we have to fight back using our own voice and the words that reflect our truth, because our truth, I believe, is ourselves. It's how we maintain our individuality, if you will. And that's our truth. So hopefully we can find our voice and make a difference somehow. I know it's difficult. All these memes are programming us constantly, adding more confusion, using the ultimate weapon as propaganda. Oh God, that doesn't make sense, does it? Anyway, oh yes, okay. So they use words like disinformation and misinformation. You notice they never say false information on the air. So if you have changed that word, of course, disinformation. What does that mean? Misinformation. What does that mean? Some people say it's called missing information, and that can be short. Disinformation can be short for dismissed information. But again, the word missing in that term is a good indication, but they never say it's false information or wrong information. It's kind of interesting if you do a study on that. Give me a couple minutes here. I'll be right back. Okay, sorry. What? I'm back. Anyway, where was I? So make no mistake, at this point, we are in an information war. It's coming at us faster and faster all the time. And we are, the more the information comes, the more distracting and hard it is for us to keep sane. So we're in the thick of this battle. We're like soldiers. So you could think of it about it as how are you going to stand up and show what side you're on? And the side is ourselves. Like I said, we are the prize. We must stand up and fight for ourselves, because we are the truth. We are the, I don't want to say God, but you know, when you think of the ultimate, you know, Satan versus God, you know, which one are you going to, again, there's the two sides, but we are so powerful. I think that we can stand up. We can overcome. We can change our minds like in a split second. And that's why they can't let up. That's why we've got news and media 24/7, and they want you constantly on your devices. Because if we were quiet and at peace, we would remember all who we are, and it would only make us stronger, and they would not have, you know, they would not have any iota of control. It would be over. So again, all this narrative, it's fed to us through the news feed. You know, they call it the news feed. You see how we're fed repeatedly, given the same stories repeatedly. And what is it creating? It's creating fear, because we've given over our trust and support, thinking they know best. But the people who are doing this are paid. They're paid to enforce these words, to constantly repeat and tell us all these things. They're script reading their scripts. And then of course the government executives, their people are also paid to enforce the words that were written down. Things that we never got to vote for. We were never given the opportunity to say, because they knew we wouldn't vote for any of this stuff. But anyway, we have like a mindset, we have to go back. We have to go back to turning off the TV is one thing right now today, and pulling back from all the propaganda is a good thing, yes. But we have to remember we have been fed, so to speak, our entire lives from day one. And I would like to read, I found this on the internet, or not the internet, Telegram. This young lady gave an interesting little thing here I'd like to read, and I don't know her name, so I can't give her credit, but I just would like to read it because it was so powerful. Anyway, here it goes. The best way to get control over the most powerful species on the planet would be to completely divide them from the love within themselves. As soon as they're old enough to begin creating an understanding of who they are, you will force them into a system that teaches them it is wrong to be who they are. And if they are themselves, it's that is different from what is accepted from normal. They are ridiculed by the other children. Confuse them about their own biological makeup so that they think that permanently altering their body is the answer to happiness. Require them daily attendance at this institution that makes them focus only on the information provided. Make them attend that institution from age 5 to adult. Repeatedly test them on their information until it becomes their truth. Give them an explanation on everything so that they never have the chance to make their own assumptions of the world. Scold them and humiliate them if they suggest an opinion that opposes that of their teaching. Keep reminding them how cruel their ancestors were to each other in the past and broadcast how cruel they are in the present. Only show them tragedies so that they live in fear and think the worst of one another. Convince them that their species used to be that of an incognizant wild animal. Make them think that their very existence is so incredibly random that they lack purpose and struggle to make sense of a creator. Tell them that their kind is as smart as they've ever been, so that they do not question the integrity of the system that they're in. Present them with artificial idols and use them as examples of what perfection is, so that they are never content with their own beauty and are always comparing themselves. Create addictive digital platforms that rank them by numbers so that they base their self-worth on the amount of followers that they have and are never satisfied. These numbers are attached to their self-worth. Make money their main focus by telling them money is power, but makes it difficult to accumulate. So they remain in a place of constant struggle, forced to dedicate the majority of their time to the system that made it this way. Tax them in every way possible, but tell them that it's for their own benefit and the overall good of everyone. Give them the weekend, 2 days of rest, because you know they care and support the consumption of poison, so that even on those 2 days of rest, they remain disconnected from themselves and each other. Give them food with excess sugars and addictive chemicals that taste good. Make it cheap and accessible so that they never stop consuming. When the food makes them ill, provide them with medicine that masks the symptoms and that they never fully heal and become dependent on these medications and overinflate the cost to make it seem like they are privileged and have benefits. So it creates a constant loop of consuming, medicating, and working. Finally, cause chaos amongst them and blame it on a group of citizens so that they form judgmental stereotypes, turn them against each other in so many ways and slices so that even if they do come together in one way, they would still be divided in another. And that's the end of that. I thought that was pretty interesting. And it was a younger woman who was presenting this, and I just thought it was very concise to put it all in. A couple of notes that, like, when I was talking about the weekend again, another word play here is, like, if you spell it, it's not week as W-E-E-K, and it's spelled weekend, W-E-A-K, like as in week, a week, weekend. I know, it's just interesting, you know, again, talking about words that sound the same, but they're spelled the same and they have different meanings. And there's always so much confusion in our, especially our English language. We touched on this a little bit because if you're someone who's learning English, it's probably maddening. There's so many different definitions and different words. They're spelled the same, they sound the same, they're spelled different, but they sound the same. And you can get so much confusion just trying to learn how to get all the pieces together. But yet, if you consider definitions alone, you got to remember all the different rules there are, because you have dictionaries, you know, your regular run-of-the-mill dictionaries. One, the most popular dictionary is called Webster. And again, Webster, stirring of the web. Interesting. Just something that I've picked up. Okay, and then you have etymology, which is the history of words and how a particular word, you know, its progression, where you have, there are some words that they have changed completely in their history. Like, for example, the word nice used to mean that you were a horrible, you know, crafty conniving person, and now what, you know, nice means something completely different, totally opposite, actually. Anyway, so that's etymology. There's law dictionaries, of course. All legal documents in and of themselves too can change their definitions. They usually, if you have a legal document, they state at the top their definitions that are not the same as what is commonly thought of. You know, contracts do the same thing. You have UCC codes and things pertaining to money and trade. They have their own definitions of things. Corporations create their own rules, regulations, definitions, governments, constitutions, etc. You have the law of the sea. You have common law. You have maritime law versus admiralty law. Again, you have legal versus lawful. There's common law. It goes on and on of all the different jurisdictions that we have to consider. And again, contracts.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
And we're back. It's Monday, November 10th, and you're with Beachy. We're talking about words today and how words really are very important to us. And we do need to get a handle on them as I was going over all the different definitions that are out there. And of course, they change definitions on us constantly. They're always changing. For example, if you recall when the vaccine came out, just not even the word changed, but they call, you know, before vaccines used to be a makeup of, you know, different biological things that from animals. I mean, it's kind of icky. I don't want to go into it, but basically they came up with, it was supposedly to boost your immunity by giving you a little taste of the, you know, whatever the said virus was. And so then your body could kick in and fight it off. That was kind of what the whole concept of a vaccine was prior. And now they're saying they're using this mRNA, which is actually a DNA change of your DNA, which is like, okay, that is like a totally different concept in my mind. And so that was, they changed that, you know, per around the time of COVID, obviously, but I'm sure they had already been working on it before. But the point is that now, that again, I was talking about contracts, and when you sign into the hospital, you're signing a contract, and usually people don't read this, because, you know, typically when you're going into a hospital or you're in that, in a vulnerable state or a compromised state, you're not really thinking, you don't have a lot of, you know, you just want to get your whatever you want taken care of, right? So anyway, now they're calling, just a heads up for people, they're calling it a biologic. Injections are not, they're not calling them vaccines. So when you're signing in your life away on your contractual hospital visit, and it says it gives you them the right that they can inject you with said biologic. So it doesn't even say a vaccine or so, you know, because I know people want, you know, don't want these things. So they call them, they're calling them biologics now. So they've changed a whole lot there. But it's basically an mRNA injection. Also, and this is, I'm going way off topic here, but they've announced that they're putting the mRNA in the rabies vaccines for our pets. And you know, that's, to me, that's horrific. But anyway, again, like you said, something for people to be aware of, because we are constantly, they're just changing things around, and you gotta keep on top of this stuff, because they're everywhere. So back to, you know, like I said, all these things are contracts, and, you know, a lot of times contracts are just a bunch of words, and we got to put all those words together and make sure we know what exactly they're saying. And sometimes they give you these digital contracts where, you know, you got to just sign on an iPad, you know, you don't even get to read the things. So you got to be careful on that too, because who knows what is you're agreeing to, just like when you download an application for, you know, whatever from the Apple Store or wherever you get your downloads from. There's always an agreement, right? You got to, you know, sign your terms and agreements. And, you know, you really ought to read those things, because there's a lot of terms and things that you, you know, you would be surprised what they put in these things. Okay, moving along. That was another bit of a just off the track there. Back to my notes. So yeah, so all those different different places that the definitions changed. and just some of the also like register, you know, people don't know when you register something in the legal terms, that means you're giving away whatever it is you're registering. It's pretty interesting. Again, that's the legal study is they change the definitions a lot, and you'd be surprised what certain words that you think you use every day and you think you know the meaning of them. If you step into a legal situation, you're it's eye opening. But anyway, moving along. So I just think that all of this programming that we're getting, again, we have to be aware of it so that we can turn it around. You know how our language is sometimes, you know, people say, oh, I words cannot express, or I don't have the words to convey how I'm feeling. And there's so much more information in a feeling or a picture, or even colors and smells and sounds hold messages and meaning. And you can't always, you know, put that all into words. It's just a feeling. And just like you can't always recognize a vibration, but we can resonate with another person, you know, you can just call it chemistry. They called it, just that person has good vibes or whatever. But you can think, I think that is the concept of telepathy. We're getting messages. We're being sent messages, but we're not paying attention to that. We know it feels good. We know we like it. We know we, you know, you're on the quote unquote same wavelength as another person. But, you know, I think we're missing out on a whole lot more information there. That's not a word. It's like I said, a feeling. So, you know, and all those words typically use or carry specific vibrations too. So when you find words that make you feel good or change the way you feel, you can, you know, try to use those words instead of the words that were given. Like, especially when you're speaking to yourself inside your head, you know, we're always dogging on ourselves inside. I hear a lot of people say that, well, they don't say it, but there's self-deprecation or self-limiting beliefs because they hear it inside their heads as they're telling themselves that. And just think of the power that we have by just addressing that and rewriting, I guess you could say, or re-speaking a different word. Like, you know, I don't know. I can't do something. Like when people say, oh, I can't do that. Well, maybe you could say, I'm working on being able to do that, rather than just dismissing it as, or I don't know how to do that yet. And that keeps the door open for something to, rather than just say, I can't do that, you know, that's just an example. But anyway, so yeah, so if you, you know, the more you do that, I think that's your power. That's where your power lies, that you can use that internal dialogue and rewrite your stories. You know, even like if you feel like somebody rejected you or, you know, somebody hurt you, or you can kind of revisit that, and maybe it's a lesson. Maybe it's something you learn to recognize signs that maybe you shouldn't do that particular thing again. Or, you know, people reframe your mistakes, because, you know, sometimes you need to make a mistake so that you could know what to change. So, because sometimes people make the same mistakes over and over and over again. And here's there was a metaphor like, you know, I was walking down the street and I fell in a hole and I couldn't get out. And it took me a long time, you know, to get out. And then the next thing is, well, I was walking down the street, I fell in a hole, but because I fell in before, I figured out faster how to get out. And then it, you know, goes on to, I was walking down the street and I was watching for that hole so that I didn't fall in it again. So again, that's a way to look at it, that you're learning and it's not a bad thing to make mistakes. Anyway, again, the power, like I said, the power of ourselves is something that we need always to look at and never forget, because there's always going to be a way to fix it, get it back on track, and make sure we have a more peaceful and joyful life. Let's see what else. Oh, okay. So the next thing was, you know, another way is censorship, which, you know, there's so much that we just don't know. So we're steered away from even talking about things. But when you ask questions, you know, somehow all these things just, it comes around. And, you know, like I said, just keep asking questions. Questioning is always a good thing. But, you know, lots of times we say we get more questions when we ask questions. But I think that broadens our view. I think it what do you call it, expands your thought processes. It's a journey, you know. It's not like we probably will never get to knowing everything, but we will know more. And it's just a process. It's a journey. And who knows? Who knows where, if it will ever end? Well, let's see. I don't want to go into all that. Let's see. I went over the dictionaries. I guess that's it. I would also like to say, if anybody out there who's listening, first of all, thanks for listening. And also, if you have any thoughts or comments, anything you'd like to have me discuss or are interested in, I am open to suggestions, although I do have a whole lot of other stuff. And if you want to come on to the show and have a topic you want to discuss that pertains to the Remember Who You Are concept, that would be also welcome. Anyway, thanks for listening, and I'll be off for now. Thanks.